Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
For the last week or so, we've been asking you to send us your vacation stories. And you have. You haven't.
Yeah,
get on it.
Quite a pile.
If you haven't sent yours in yet, right, you can send yours in now. Just go to 1029thehog.com. If Brian reads yours on the air, there are prizes to be won. $1,000 worth of prizes from Steinhoffel's, and Sherwin Industries. We read them all week long through Friday.
Right, but don't wait till Friday send it in, because that's the last day we read them.
Yeah. Right.
It's almost like Wednesday.
Early bird.
If you send it Wednesday, it'll be here Thursday to take home Thursday night to read Friday. Yeah.
So, there you go.
All right. Ready?
I am.
Okay. Here we go. I like this one just for one line in it. When I was about 6 and my brother was 8, the family took the longest road trip we had ever been on to St. Louis. While we were there, we went to a Cardinals game, and my parents let both my brother and I get a souvenir from the team store. I got this little hand puppet dog that when you opened its mouth, its tongue shot out and it squeaked.
Great. Now,
it was in a Cardinals jersey or something?
I don't know.
Okay.
This is a 6-year-old, yeah. You know.
I think Dad's going to have enough of that toy soon.
Not exactly. Well, I apparently annoyed my brother to the max with it back at the campsite, and then the brother is 8. He took it and pulled the squeak part out. To say I was upset is an understatement. My mom tried to put the dog back together, but the squeak didn't squeak the same. I cried so hard, I got a bloody nose.
Ooh! Kid!
Next day, my mom had 2 baseball bat pens she bought at the game for us. She gave them to us. One had red ink, the other had blue. You guessed it, we both wanted the same one. I ended up getting the one I didn't want and protested by giving it to my brother. It ended up punctured into his arm. Stabbed him with it.
Siblings.
All right. On to number 2. Picture, first, before we read it, a night on a sailboat.
Night on a sailboat.
Okay. What would the brochure, show you to...
Starry skies,
yeah.
Quiet.
A beautiful landscape with the city off in the distance.
Yeah, no, I bet it's
calm
pitch
waters.
Black.
Well,
and you're in the middle of the lake.
During a recent trip to Key West, my web surfing wife came up with the idea that it would be fun to sleep on a sailboat instead of a normal hotel. We booked 2 nights through the through Expedia, and off we went. In our minds, we pictured luxury, sophistication, and romance. What we got was
like
claustrophobia, diesel smells, and public bathrooms. The sleeping compartment of this tiny dinghy was so compact, it felt like we were sleeping in our own casket.
Ooh.
The boat was moored to a public dock, so there were people coming and going past us all night, drinking and starting their boat engines, flooding our cabin with blue smoke.
Oh, my God.
The night on a sailboat? Yeah, it's by the dock. You just kept.
Yeah.
Did I mention it was 85 degrees and had no air conditioning? The only person who enjoyed the experience was our 8-year-old daughter, who liked life aboard Barbie action sailboat.
Yeah.
She cried all the way to the Comfort Inn when I yelled abandon ship the next morning.
So they're booked for 2, spent 1 night.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
Not
a night on a sailboat. Moon dancing on the water.
Yeah. Little, the gentle lull of waves.
Secluded bay.
Off in the distance, maybe you see some lights.
Right.
Tied to the dock.
Tied to the dock.
What?
People.
Yeah.
Drunk people.
Yeah.
Down all night. Wow. This wasn't in the brochure. On to the RVs. I felt it was important to teach my kids how everything in our camper worked and to assign everyone a job to make the trips easier. Since nobody else wanted it, I took the job of emptying out the waste tanks.
Mm.
At the end of a weekend camping trip, we had everything packed up
worst.
With the camper hooked to the van. The only thing left to do was the trip to the dump station to clean out the poop. The 3-inch diameter turd hose was stored in the hollow back bumper of the camper and covered by a little plastic cap with a hole in it.
Yeah.
All lined up and ready to pump, I reached my right hand into the hole to release the cap and was immediately greeted with electric fire shooting through my fingers. I yanked my hand back with the cap still attached and found a half dozen wasps repeatedly stinging my fingers.
Oh,
that's going to hurt right away.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
I shook off the cap and several wasps with it, then began smashing the rest of my left hand while screaming "Ammer effers and son of a bitches" and every other word I could think of until the remaining wasps on my hand were dead.
All you want to do is pump the waste tank.
A few others were still flying around, so I started flailing and knocking them from the sky, then stomping them until none were left alive. Doubling over with my throbbing right hand under my left armpit, I began to regain my composure and stood up, looking toward the front of the camper. There stood my 10-year-old boy, stock still and staring slack-jawed at his raving lunatic of a father. I walked past him toward the van, looking for something to soothe my pain, and said, "It looks like this is your job now."
Oh.
Well, son, I'm hurt.
He grew up.
Yeah. I've never had to empty a waste tank.
You've never had an RV or a...
I've never even gone near one.
Nope. Goes along with that.
I bet you can smell it before you even get there. Like, you can't... I bet, like, you know,
that hose,
like, it's even psychological.
The hose that's kept in the hollowed-out bumper.
Yeah, right when you start to even begin to do
it.
Like,
they never cover that in extreme RVs.
No,
they never do.
Robin Yount did. When we talked to him last time about his RV.
But that was an extreme RVs.
We'll get Linda and Tim to fess up next trip, too. They're our RVers.
Yeah, they live in their RV.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
I wonder if there's people you can hire to do that.
Oh, I would, right?
I don't know.
And he's our cook. Oh, wait.
Never addressed on Below Decks either.
There's plenty of RV stuff, too, so a lot of it has to do with poop. Anyway. In 1980, we took a motorhome trip to California with my wife, 15-year-old son, and 12-year-old daughter. This was at the height of the beer can collecting craze.
Oh, totally. Boy, did I live through that.
Every time we stopped, my son went on a beer can hunt. One night in Arizona, we stopped at a campground, and as usual, the beer can hunt was on for my son. Short time later that evening, a group of workers from the campground came with my son in tow. They said my son had been peeking into a tent where the lady had been laying naked.
15.
Yeah.
I asked them why a woman had been laying naked with the tent open in a family campground. They said it didn't matter.
And that's true, isn't it? Isn't that mostly true?
They said my son had been looking at her. That's what mattered. He said he had been just looking for cans. Well,
there you go. Yeah, it's an obvious one.
They said, why would anyone be looking for beer cans, as I guess the fad had not reached there yet. But to no avail, as they threw us out of the campground.
Wow. Out. Get out.
So we had to use the redneck campground and just park along a side road we found off the main road. The rest of the trip was pretty smooth, even gaining a few more odd beer cans along the way. Right.
Yeah.
We had to always stop in towns and then get the contents of the beer out of the cans by poking holes in the bottom of them and letting them drain out at the side of the road.
So,
as far as I know, he didn't peek in anybody's tents. Never know.
For several years, my husband and I traveled to Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg, Tennessee in the spring.
Dollywood.
I've been there a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
The first year we rented a cabin overlooking Mount LeConte.
Okay. Doesn't ring a bell. No.
We arrived late in the afternoon, unpacked, and looked around at our accommodations. It was rustic but lovely. It had a fully equipped kitchen, a fireplace, a deck with a hot tub, a comfy bedroom, and a living room. It looked as though we were going to have a relaxing week.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like a nice place.
While we were eating supper, I picked up a journal that was sitting on the coffee table. Previous guests had written entries about their stay at the cabin. I thought this was a nice idea, and I started reading through them.
Right. Mm. I've been to places like this where there's the mm-hmm. journal. Hey, guest tell book. Us about your stay, you know, yep. and they're all pretty pleasant. The children had a wonderful time.
Right.
They caught fish. We roasted marshmallows, all those things.
What seemed nice became a little disturbing due to the number of entries that mentioned the scorpions they encountered in the cabin.
Oh, no.
In Gatlinburg, Tennessee, they have scorpion problems?
I'm glad you're telling me this now, in case I go.
Not that this gave me the creeps or anything, but I did spend the week throwing all of the bedding off the bed before I got in. I surveyed all of the walls every time I walked through a room.
Oh, yeah.
And I made sure our suitcases were closed except to get things in or out.
Yep.
Let's just say I was not relaxed. We had finally gotten through the entire week without a single scorpion sighting, and we were getting ready for the trip home. My husband was making coffee, and I was headed to the bathroom to shower, relieved to be leaving. As I was getting into the shower, something caught my eye. There he was, a scorpion on the shower wall.
A scorpion.
She let her guard down for a minute.
Wow. Like you said, in Gatlinburg.
I thought this was a, like, you know,
Southwest
desert thing. I recoiled in fear, quickly put my robe back on, and ran to the living room trying to shake off the creeps.
Yes.
I sat down on the couch, and my husband said, "I thought you were going to take a shower." I replied, "I was, but someone is already in there." With a curious look, he headed to the bathroom, returned to the living room, picked up a shoe, and went back into the bathroom.
Right.
I could hear him hammering his shoe on the shower wall repeatedly.
Gross.
He returned to the living room. "No, the bathroom's available now. It's been destroyed and disposed of." I have never taken a shower faster in my life. We never returned to that cabin.
Yeah, probably for good reason. Does bats nurse take care of scorpions?
Maybe in the Southwest they do, but
your local pest management company will tell you what kind of pests. And this one. 3 years ago, my girlfriend, now wife, had a conference in New Orleans. I tagged along for a 3-day mini vacation. We had a great first time experience in the Big Easy, filled with great Creole food, jazz, stiff drinks on Bourbon Street. We were put up by our company on the top floor of a historic hotel that featured a rooftop swimming pool.
Huh, sounds good.
It does. The morning that we were set to return home, I got up at 4 a.m. to take a quick shower before leaving on my 6:30 flight. My girlfriend had a later flight scheduled, so she was planning on waking later. While in the shower, I heard a furious pounding coming from an unknown source. I got out of the shower to locate the origin of the commotion and to check on my girlfriend. She was wide awake in bed with a terrified look on her face.
You're right. What does that look like?
Right. Honey?
Like scream or like...
Before I could ask if she knew where the pounding had come from, it started up again directly above us, shaking plaster loose from the ceiling. As I led her away from the bed and toward the door, a hole began to form in the ceiling.
What?
We watched dumbfounded as first a piece of lumber emerged through the ceiling.
No, there's nobody in 8C. No, go ahead. Get started, boys.
Widening the hole, followed shortly by a human foot that began deliberately enlarging the hole from the floor above us.
Oh, well, yeah.
What?
I'm fixing this.
Who's up there? The who?
Pete.
Stop. What are you doing? I yelled to the foot. A very drunk voice answered me. I was looking for the pool and got stuck in a crawl space of some kind. Instead of trying to retrace his steps to find a way out, the hammered individual grabbed a board and had tried to break out through the floor. After asking if he was able to breathe, I told him to hold tight and called security. When they arrived, they stared in disbelief at the foot dangling through the century-old ceiling.
That's what we did.
Yeah, right.
I explained to them that I needed to leave to catch my flight and that they would need to get another room for my girlfriend, one without a drunk man coming through the ceiling.
Reasonable.
I'd like to be on floor 3.
I felt bad leaving my visibly shaken girlfriend, but had to catch my taxi to the airport. Security did take her to another room and when they got the drunk pool seeker out of the crawl space, they made him apologize to her for scaring us.
Well, I'm okay. He doesn't have to. I'm fine.
You really want to meet this guy?
No, I don't want to look at him. No, and see him. No.
We were given a voucher for a free stay at the hotel should we ever decide to return to New Orleans.
Wow.
All right.
That was fun.
That's a different one.
Nice little start.